hired all the right people for all the little moving pieces of the launch, and so I'm feeling really good about that. Wins, I would say that one of the private clients that I told you guys about, I don't know, probably a few weeks ago, when it came time to making payments, she was kind of slow on the go. So I've just been kind of hanging loose, and she actually made payment last night. So she's starting immediately, so that feels really good to have that done, that 6 out of 6. And so I will not be taking on any more private clients at the moment. But yeah, feeling really good and feel like I've been working on my calendar for the rest of the year all morning, and I have like everything mapped out. So that feels, I don't even know, feels awesome. Yeah.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Arianne, you are up next. Wins and accountability.
So accountability, I was 3 for 4. The only thing I get to do was work on like revised sequence of follow-up.
Arianne, I can't hear you.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
I can't hear me either.
Maybe the phone angle or something.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
It's better.
No.
Hello?
Hola.
Hello?
Yeah,
hello?
That's much better. So go ahead.
Yeah, so on accountability, I was 3 for 4 this past week. The only thing I didn't get to do was revise the email sequence on the regular brokerage site, but I wanted to get a chance to do that. A couple of big wins this week. The hiring process is moving along very well, and for the first time, I don't hate it. Thanks to all you guys and the advice that you gave me.
That's huge.
Yeah, it is. It helps to have a structure, and you know, just hiring people, just interviewing people is hard work. But we've got a couple. We've filtered it down to a couple of candidates that I think could, you know, have potential, so we'll see where that goes this week. And then the second big win was I moved forward on working with Lane on getting funnel to look like a real one. So kind of stopped kidding myself with that. So I'm looking forward to how that's going to go to close the year out the box.
Awesome. And it is still a little hard to hear you, so if you do sort of pop up and give advice, I'm not sure. Maybe we'll have to ask you twice for it because it was pretty darn muffled. Did Monica hop on? I didn't hear a ding, but I just want to make sure. And I know she's got a baby, so if she doesn't come for the next 2 weeks, it's totally fine. I just didn't hear from her either way, so I don't think I heard her hop on. And Brian is actually flying right now to Arizona. So that means, Lane, you're up next. What are your wins and accountability for the week? And then we'll move into right on time, right? Hey, who is that?
Monica. Sorry, I'm sitting here working, and I just spaced. I'm like, Andrew's like, aren't you supposed to be on Jamie's call? I'm like, oh, my God. Sorry.
And, of course, you're working. I was like, I didn't hear from her, but she just had a baby, so there's no way. And then you went, hilarious. Okay, so what are your wins and accountability? This is perfect timing.
Wins are that I posted in the Facebook group. I got about half of those things done. I was pretty ambitious, but anyway, I got about half of those done and a lot more. I mean, it was a productive week, but I wasn't in contact with any clients, so I'd say that those are both wins for me.
Wait. How old is your baby? How many days old is your baby?
Tomorrow she'll be 3 weeks.
Oh, my goodness. And you're like, oh, and I got half my actions done. All right, good job.
well, you know, Jamie, you know me. So, you know, you guys, I have Marines and Navy people as clients. Are you joking me? Like, are you kidding? It just, whatever. Anyway, so I feel really good about that, and I also feel good that he was able to buffer me from clients for another week, and I'll probably take on a couple client calls this week. But anyway, those are the big wins. Physically, I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, it's still pretty challenging for me to talk and see and read, but, you know, hopefully that'll go away in the next couple of months. So I'm good to go. Excited for Lane's hot seat.
Aw, that's awesome. Lane, what are your wins in accountability? All righty. So accountability, 3 out of 4. The one I have not gotten to is reaching out to the people from Blogger, which just haven't done.
Wait, still?
And
all right, what's the conversation going to happen on that one? Is there a reason why it's being procrastinated on or no?
I think it's just, it seems like I'm crazy busy and it just seems like a lower priority, but it's a lower priority in terms of urgency. I still think it's an important thing to do. So
okay, so you
I just haven't, if you do not do that.
Okay. So it's silly. You're right. That's why it's literally going to take you like 3 minutes to send 2 emails or 3, you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, it might take you half an hour or 45 minutes, but just a little teeny consequence so you can just check that off your list and feel good. And I want to hear you sing, I feel so pretty. So. All right, continue. I interrupted. Go ahead.
All right. So then the win, I would say, is, Jamie, one of the things you and I had talked about is when doing project proposals, go over them live. Don't send them as a document and let the person read through them. So I actually did that twice last week, and it's very uncomfortable for me, but I did it. So that's a big win. So
she did it with me. She seemed uncomfortable. But she did it. So, yay. So we bought her a stamp.
And the whole time you're going, good job. Good job, Lane. You can do it.
They got me a rubber stamp. It's so cute. I'll have to take a picture of it and post it to the group. So it's really cute. So that's my win. And then for the hot seat today, things are progressing nicely, as I posted a status update in the group. But one thing I really want to do is build an email list that I can either have on hand for the future when I do some kind of product offering or course or something like that, as well as affiliate offers. And I see this email list probably pretty distinct from my clients. And so that's causing me some confusion in my brain. I don't think that people who are going to opt for a $99 or $199 or even $1,000 copywriting class are the people who are going to hire me to write or create content for them. So what my concern is that if I have that, if I'm writing about those topics on my website and collecting people's email addresses, my clients or potential clients who come to me may see a disconnect there. They may think that I'm not providing the services that they want to because they're reading different stuff on the blog, if that makes sense.
Yes, it definitely makes sense. I'm going to let everybody jump in. Does it make sense to everybody else?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess, is it a valid concern? Like, if somebody's going to hire me, and I've worked with all of you in different contexts, and you went to my website, and there was a section where I talk about my services, and then on the website itself, the blog, it talks about increasing your open rates or proper use of stories or something that demonstrates my expertise, but it isn't something that you necessarily would find useful, is that going to cause issues?
So, good. Everybody jump in. I have to go pick up Finn for like 2 seconds, and then I will be right back on, okay?
Hey, Lane, it was Scott.
Yep.
I noticed you had several different things that you had listed on the Facebook post. Is this the biggest one that's troubling you?
And yeah, it
sounds
it is
like this is where you want to start.
Yeah, because I've got actually
you know, I wanted to start there because I have some great opportunities coming up to the affiliate offers that I know are coming up, opportunities where I'm speaking on panels, things like that. And I don't really have anything. It's like a two-tiered market almost. I'm not saying that the people at the lower price level or the affiliate offer level won't ever become private clients, but also my private clients don't find me blindly through my website. It's all referral based at this point or personal connection.
So is your biggest concern that if your private clients see your blog, they will what?
It's more like, okay, let's say I meet Bob Gandalf, that great internet marketer, Bob Gandalf. No, actually, Jason Van Orden is somebody that I've been in touch with lately. And if I reach out to him and he says, okay, what are you working on? I say I'm doing these, doing high-level content and communication strategy and copywriting. And he says, oh, what's your website? And he goes over to my website, and then the blog is more aimed at, if let's say the first three articles are optimizing your email open rate and like a more tactical, the stuff on the blog is more tactical than strategic, if that makes sense. It's more helping people do it them DIY versus, I guess it's like a contractor whose clients are multi-million-dollar homeowners who are going to hire him or her to build a custom home. And everything on the blog is how to find the stud in your wall and how to replace the washer in your, or the whatever it is in your sink. Is that a disconnect because he's not speaking to that primary customer at that level? Or does it demonstrate expertise?
So as opposed to what? Like, what are you going to have on your blog that's going to be appropriate for that high-level client?
I think it would be a higher-level thing. Like, it could be an article like 10 ways to maximize your next product launch, or making content to developing a communication strategy plan or something like that. It's not to say I can't do both, but that's my question. Is it one, is it the other, or can I do both? Should I do both?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I guess my personal opinion is two different client markets, and if someone's coming to you to hire you to do all of their writing for them, I don't know that they're really going to pay much attention to what's on your blog anyway. They're going to be more interested in your testimonials. They're going to be more interested in, like you're saying, referral-based, who talked to them about you. What type of, you know, that to me is going to stand out more than what you put on your blog. I think you could do anything you want on your blog, frankly. That's my opinion. And it would demonstrate expertise, but I don't think it's going to make your buying decision go one way or the other based on an article that you wrote that's on your blog.
That was my gut feel that people who hear about me and, like, if one of you recommends me to somebody or Jamie recommends me to somebody, they're not going to go to my blog and read 10 articles and say, gosh, she's writing about email open rates. That's not what I need. They'd probably just get in touch and get on a phone call with me or go to my website and see, okay, she's got these credits, Huffington Post, New Media Expo, Entrepreneur Success. Not so much what did she write about for those places.
Exactly.
Hey, Lane.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. So I have a couple of thoughts for you on this. So on one hand, in my personal experience, like, for example, like if I take my blog, right? You could actually read articles there where I lay out everything that I do, right? And yet people still hire me, right? So
yes.
It's one of those things that, like, for example, like on the stuff that we're working together, right? Like in theory, I know what I should do, but I still want to hire you.
Right.
Right. So just having the information oftentimes doesn't mean that they're going to act on it and they're going to be DIY, right?
Right.
Now having said that, I mean, if you, you know, if the bigger question is, you know, what's the motivation for trying to appeal to a lower end market, meaning as opposed to like building the higher end market stronger?
Right.
Is it because that is such
a good question. Yeah. Go ahead.
No. That was my question.
It's mainly because at a certain point I tap out as I'm tapped out in number of hours. So to bring in more income, I either have to raise my prices, which there's a ceiling on how much people will conceivably pay for a blog post or communication strategy or whatever it might be. Add more clients, which I can't really do because I'm maxed.
Well, you could if you leverage your people.
Right, and that's part of the plan too, one of the things I was saying. But I see there's so many opportunities for people who to develop that email list and get passive income for people who aren't clients now but could be in a couple years or even a year.
So, Lane, what do you – you don't want to be an agency. You just want to have, like, one day a week or two days a week where you do client work, and then the rest of it you're creating your own programs.
I like the client work a lot, and so I would say it'd be more – ideally over the long term, more like half and half even, because I really enjoy the high-level strategy. But I do love the idea of being able to have an email list of 10,000 people and send out an email for a program that's coming up and get money with, you know, affiliate offers. I think that's a huge opportunity.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what you actually want. Like, who are these people that are coming to the site that you really want to sell, like as far as avatar? Because what you're saying is you have two different avatars. When you have two different avatars,
right,
it makes it difficult because you don't want to – and I do too, right? I have some people that can definitely not do one-on-one, and I have people that are making $10,000 a month and go with the lower programs.
Right.
Who you're going to attract, you just – are you looking to figure out who to write the blog content for, or are you looking on how to segment them best?
I think I'm not so concerned about the clients, the high-level personal clients at this point, because I am basically full and I still am getting referrals. So I do need – I mean, my ideal is to have recurring people that I work with month after month, like Scott and I have been talking about that. And that way I'm not constantly having to be putting more people into that funnel. But if I had something that could be productized somehow, a do-it-yourself, or even something that I can oversee with, I don't know, I'm getting off track because I'm thinking of new ideas. But basically the idea was people who are newer business owners who aren't at the level of hiring somebody to create a 6 month to a year communication plan and then implement it, but still want quality content, can I train them how to DIY? Do I have templates that I can create and provide to them? I love writing. It's a natural means of expression for me. Plus, I'm getting invitations regularly to talk about how do you create affiliate swipe effectively? How do you communicate via email? And I don't have anybody to promote those opportunities to, or the world's very small right now, my world of those people. So I want to build it. So I can have that passive income. Is this like a non-issue? Is that why? Why it's not? It seems like nobody has much to say, which is totally fine. I may
let me say this, Lane. So, if you want to create a blog for these specific people, which makes sense, I think you when I started thinking about who you should write for, I think if you wanted to write a book, like when you think of Ryan Levesque, he works with super high level people. And his book really talks about his process and method. And then he has his, you know, membership site, which is $97 a month, which super high-level people are in that too, but also not so super high-level people are in it. So when you start going through, I want you to start figuring out your process. And I think blogging about that process is going to be interesting to potential new people. I don't want you to work with brand new businesses because they have no money.
Right.
But I do want you to start really figuring out what your process is and how you do this, even if it's just to systematize and maybe train another copywriter underneath you or something like that. But I could see you going down that path, like you figuring out the best way to write what you currently do, attract who we're going to attract at the moment, like try and get pretty clear on an avatar, but not go like, oh, this is new startups, they're like this, they're never going to hire me, that sort of thing, and start seeing who we're attracting, but most likely getting your information down. That's what I care about more than, oh, no, who do I write for, who am I creating products for, blah, blah, blah. It's like you fleshing out your whole process because you know it. It's just in your head. And then from there, you'll have your whole process. So if you do want to do a digital program based on that process, that would be really important. Does that make sense? So I feel like we're coming
at it
from a
different
angle.
It does. No, that makes a lot of sense. And just the Ryan Levesque example is great because he lays it all out in the book for some, and on his website, blog, et cetera, for people who do want to DIY, and some of them will buy the book and will never become a member of his membership group or a one-on-one client of his, but he has those people. So it's just, it's the same information. It's just hitting people in different places. And I love the idea of creating that system, too, because that pulls into my other big issue is I'm horrible at systems. I just, it's slowing down enough to document is so painful that it never gets done.
Perfect. We're killing two birds with one stone then, right?
Yes, we are. So how would I go about that on the blog?
So I'll let everybody jump in after, but for, so when I would actually handle it as if you were writing a book. So when I first started my blog, I was like, what is my mission? What am I trying to get across? What's that different? Why is this different? So I started this whole series on my blog way back when, which hilarious because I end up using tons of those pieces for the book. So when you start thinking of like manifesto type, like what do I stick the stake in the ground for? Where do I plant my flag? That kind of stuff. Along with, like, the methods and the processes, which will start coming out as they need to anyway, I would literally start it as if you're like, I'm going to write a book about my entire process. Chapter one will be, all right, what I stand for. Chapter two will be like, okay, this is the information you need to know about yourself or you need to know about your clients in order to do this, right? And so just sort of map out what your process is that way and then start getting more detail-oriented. And it doesn't have to be like, I'm going to write 7 blog posts about this specific thing. It doesn't have to be that crazy right now. But I just want you to have a visual map of, as if it was a book, what do people need to know first versus what people need to know, you know, seventh.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. And that actually pulls into my other point was figuring out exactly what I do, because I've been telling people, okay, I can do that for you. I can write press releases. I can go get press for you. I can look for – Monica, we're talking about going after specific speaking opportunities versus creating a strategic plan or webinar content or writing emails. So figuring out, just narrowing in on what it is I do.
So my opinion on that is yes, like the you figuring out those pieces, and it doesn't necessarily have to be like I write one blog post and it has to be like chapter one first, chapter whatever. You can be like the 5 things you need for blah, 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 which is going to be in chapter 7. So you can keep it somewhat inspirational, but I want you to start figuring out like a content schedule or a content calendar of like I am going to write, and keep it easy on yourself because you do so much already. I would be like, okay, I'm going to write 3 blog posts this month, and that's it. And we're going to start testing out who I'm writing for and what my process is. What 3 blog posts out of this book mind map that I have are the ones I'm going to start with first?
And it should be applicable, because what I'm thinking of with you with your one-on-one clients, it's just like what happened with Scott Olford, right? So he was like, hey, Lane, listen to this, because I did a whole thing on this, right? So that way you could get up to speed on what his process is. So start thinking of it that way. Like, if you needed to get a team member up to speed, or if you needed to get a client up to speed on, like, this is my process, start outlining that, which is also really, really helpful for potential people that want to replicate your success in that space also.
Right. Right. Does that make sense? That makes sense. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it does. How about the piece where I figure out what it, of what I do is most valuable to clients?
Talk to your clients.
Thought I knew you were going to say that.
I was waiting for you to
score.
Say, okay, let's chat later.
You walked right into that one. Now you're on the hook.
That's fine. Happy to be on the hook.
Okay. That makes sense. All right, I'm opening it up and just saying, does anybody see me doing anything really dumb? Like, you're sitting there going, Lane, why are you even thinking about da-da-da-da?
That's hilarious.
You really doing blah, blah, blah.
Here's what I'm wondering is at the beginning when you started talking about this, I heard a lot of insinuations that, hey, I'm doing this because I should be doing it, because for the passive income, and when you started talking, I didn't hear a lot of, hey, this is something I really want to do because it makes sense on all these other different levels. I pretty much only heard, I should be doing this and passive income. So I was trying to understand with my first questions, like where else it was coming from and what you felt the need and whether it was actually a priority for you right now. That was the biggest question in my mind.
Right, right,
and
yeah.
Is it a priority to build a list with those folks immediately, or is it a bigger priority to get your processes and get what you're doing now nailed down and get that really smooth and get that operating at the amount of revenue and profit that you really wanted at, maybe even get somebody hired before you really, you know, triple down on building an email list, especially if it's a new sector or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right. I think that's a great reminder because I love the writing so much that it pulls to me all the time, like, oh, I want to blog about this, I want to write about this, da da da. But reminding myself, I mean, this is a great format because I can do what Jamie's saying here, map out my process on the blog without specifically saying, oh, I'm trying to build this email list, just to see what happens, who comes, because I don't need it to be the source of income right now.
Stuff you need to do anyways.
Right, exactly. And just doing it in the more public forum lets other people look and react and hopefully want to hear more and sign up for the email list, right? But I think that's a really good point. And maybe I'm trying to avoid the system, so Jamie has a way of forcing me to do it, though.
Those are the best ways.
You cannot write on your blog unless it's contributing to your systems.
That's what I do here. So this is what I would say in regards to what you were asking about, like, what am I doing anything wrong? So you are trying to start another business, just so you know, right now. So when you start thinking about, it's a different avatar, it's a different product, and that's a whole different can of worms with a product market fit. That's a whole different ball of wax. So that's why I tried to refocus you in going, how can we make where you're doing on that side help you with the main business? Because your core business, you've only feel like you've really gotten in the past couple months, right? Because you've totally
Right.
So there's like 1,000 things that we could be doing in the next month or two to make that side of your business better, faster,
more efficient,
right?
And
yes,
normally,
definitely.
That's what I would be having people focus on. But I also know you love the creativity piece, so I would still do the blog content and the writing because I think that that will give you a structure and format to make you feel better about your process. But what I would love to see you do is have, like, new client onboarding SOPs. Like, this is what we do when we have a new client. I would love for you to hire an assistant so that way she's booking your calls now that you've got cash flow coming in. Like, these are the things I would much rather have you working on to actually make your time more valuable and used better.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I would move. Like, I would not do a digital product right now. I know you're not going
to.
But you're looking to set up the pieces. Yeah,
right.
I know you're looking at the pieces because you know that takes time and you know exactly what that is. And I agree with that, too. But, again, we're just going to take it from a softer point of view where you're just figuring out your process at the same time. Because if you picture
like
Ryan Levesque, he worked with tons of one-on-one clients, seven- and eight-figure businesses for a very long time. Right? Then he started to flush out what this process was. And literally, he just renamed quizzes and surveys. This is not rocket science here in any way. I've studied with people about this in Colorado. I'm like, dude, he did a great job branding surveys, right? Silly, but he has a $30,000 a year mastermind for that with like a bazillion people in it about surveys.
Right.
So let's get really hardcore in what your key differentiator is. There's a whole bunch of people teaching similar things to you. Right. Let's figure out what that piece is so that way when we do go out and go, you know what, we're building a list, let's get more leads, you know who you're going after. Because I don't think
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. I like that. Yeah, it does. It makes a lot of sense. So, yeah.
Okay, so where are we at question-wise? Because I know we sort of flipped the lid a little bit on where... where you are.
No, it was good because it all related. I mean, it was all really, really tied in together. So talking about, I think, probably starting with some conversations with my clients about those core competencies and exactly what it is that I'm providing to them that's most valuable, because that really drives everything else. And then from there, once I identify that, moving into my writing about that. Okay, you like it when I do this. This is how I do this. This is how I think about it. This is how I approach it. And diving into that. And mapping out the systems as I do that. Does that make sense?
If you're taking action items on where you are right now, yeah, I would say, like, number one, I would have you map out what your process is. I don't know if you're visual and you want to, like, do a mind map or something like that. So start mapping up their process. Get on the phone with a certain number of clients and go, okay, this is what I need to know. What are those key differentiators? What's the the process? What do you think was most pivotal for you to learn? What do you think had the biggest effect? Questions like that.
Right.
Why do you like working with me? Because people aren't just going, oh, I like Lane, right? Like, working with you because they like you is very different than working with you because they think you're going to deliver the results. Why do they think you're delivering that result? Or why do they believe that you will be able to do that for them if you're just sort of at the beginning processes?
Right.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yep. Great.
And actually, I know some of you guys have actually done this with Lane. So you heard the questions. Ariane, I know you're working with Lane a little bit, and Scott, you are. What made you say yes to her? Besides the fact that you knew her beforehand, what were those key differentiator factors? Because you could have gone with anybody.
Well, the first time that she was available to start tomorrow helped a little bit, but
seriously, though, I think that's huge. Lane is amazing at being super, super fast.
Yes, she is. Actually, I've been sitting here thinking about, like, what are some of the main things that I think you should double down on within yourself, and then begin hiring for some of the other pieces.
Exactly.
And for me, leveraging the fact that you care so much, this is going to sound abstract for a second, but go with me. Leveraging the fact that you care so much is actually, I think, a really, really, really unique thing about you. Like, we started by you getting on, you spent like 45 minutes on my webinar last night, the same one that you've watched already 3 times.
Wow.
And you know what? I'm very, very, very sure that that even if you don't have immediate feedback for me, like for what we're going to talk about later today, somewhere down the line, that's going to pop up in an email or a piece of strategy or something else. And the simple fact that you care enough in order to pull that stuff out in random places differentiates you. Because I've worked with like 4 other copywriters, and the reason I work with you is not, even though you're a good copywriter, like that's not the reason why I work with you. And then, so whatever you want to call that category, I don't even know exactly what to call it. Like, Lane cares. but then I think some of the other pieces are that the types of things that you enjoy doing and the types of things where you can offer both strategy and you kind of like meet strategy and technical expertise together, because you always come up, every single time, you always come up with just this miraculous way to word a sales pitch, or you come up with this absolutely phenomenal way to position, you know, a set of emails or something else along those lines. So it's almost like taking strategy and putting it to applicability to some degree. That's another big reason. That's also really abstract.
Thank you. Thank you. I know what you mean. I mean, that's something that I felt to myself, like the real creative ideas, but they're very applicable. Like, it's not just great to come up with a great idea, but it's got to actually further your business goals to bring it, to make it valuable. So, yeah, that's, I think that's some of what you're saying there. So thank you.
Yeah, I'll think on this a little bit more, too.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead, Arian.
I'd like to add on, we haven't gotten as far together as you have with Scott, but I'd like to second what he said and add that, you know, I always get the sense that that you're going to go beyond what is the job description, right? So just looking at the communication, just looking at the emails back and forth, you know, you're spending a lot more time on this thing than the 7 to 10 hours that you're saying you are, right? So and I really appreciate that. Another thing that I really like is your communication during a sales call is really clear, and that's very rare. So I think if you can couple that with a little bit more courage on the pitching side, I
mm-hmm.
think your close rate is going to be ridiculous. You know, so,
okay.
But in terms of like setting expectations of here's what comes next, here's what we're going to do, you know, it's just that you leave a sales call with no doubts as to like what's going to happen next, and that's huge.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I was going to say that too, the above and beyond piece. Me and Emily Rosen were hanging out. I was staying at her house in Colorado this weekend, and we were just talking about how people, if they could just do what they said they're going to do, like this should not be rocket science, but literally
yeah.
She has spent tens and tens of thousands, I've spent tens and tens of thousands of dollars to people that just can't even do what they say they're going to do, let alone go above and beyond. Like, it is ridiculous. She has hired so many copywriters, and she's like, it's just easier for me to do this. And what we
yeah.
were talking about is we went, the upfront matters. So them learning who this is, that, of course, takes a lot of time, and we're willing to pay people, especially copywriting-wise, to figure that out, because that's, I mean, like you said, it takes time to really understand enough in order to write copy. And what she was saying is she's like, most people won't put in the effort. They just start writing. And they think that like,
yeah.
oh, it's going to, you know, be all set. And they don't take the time to know the person enough. And that's where the caring shows up, right? So you care enough to know who they are and what their story is enough to actually replicate it and or do better than they could be able to do in telling a story. That's what I liked about Monica.
Right.
When me and Monica started working together, she asked me so many questions about me and what I cared about, and I was like, wow. Like, that's something different than most people won't go to that level. And when you go to that level,
right.
not only do they feel like they care, and this is why it works kind of well for you, especially before the sales call. If they're like, oh, my gosh, she cares enough to go in this even without getting paid, because most people are like, okay, let me close you, and then we'll do some work, and then the
right.
closing is a bunch of promises that don't actually come true. And what you're right. really good at is going above and beyond. Now, sometimes it's not good because you don't charge for it all. But but I think this is where the process, this is why I want you to write out the process, because I want you to go, you
right.
know what? In the price already, which they don't realize, is me going above
mm-hmm.
and beyond, me being able to
right.
do that. That way they
right.
just get that one price at the beginning, and I don't have to nickel and dime them for all the extra
yes.
stuff that I see, but
yes.
they feel really well taken care of, even if they don't know exactly what it was. Because what Emily was
right.
saying, she's like, I would pay. So she was going to hire a copywriter. They said they wanted $30,000. And she's like,
do what?
Exactly. Write their copy. Yay. She does huge launches. She does, you know, huge launches. And they're like, well, 30,000 is such a small piece. And she's like, literally, unless you can either guarantee or whatever, you could write those same
mm-hmm.
emails for $10,000. You're just randomly charging me 30.
Right.
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 Because it's all testing and stuff like that anyway. So,
right, exactly.
So having somebody who's actually logical and cares and goes like, okay, I'm charging you this much because this, that, and the other thing, and then still goes above and beyond over that, that's extremely rare, just so we know.
Okay. That's great to know. That's great
to know.
Thank you.
Lane, this is Karen. So I just want to, I guess, echo what everyone else is saying. You and I only did that very first copywriting thing together, but I totally agree that you go above and beyond. And I want to recommend to you this book that I'm reading called Perception, because it's really, it's awesome, and I think it fits right into what you are thinking and going through and trying to create in your business. And so, like, as an example, they were talking about, like, you know, there's Qantas Airlines that, you know, they're known for being like the family airline and the reliable airline and, you know, all of that. And then there's Virgin Airlines that's like more like edgy and hip and fun. And this is where all the cool people hang out, right? They go
mm-hmm.
exactly, they have the exact same itineraries. They go to the same places, but it's a perception, right? And so for you, and I think the first piece of this is you getting it straight in your own head. That the perception, you're hearing the perception that all of us have of you. I don't know that you yet believe it, but if you can get that perception that we all feel about you across, right, when you're talking about what you have to offer and what you bring to the table and in front of your high-level clients, just like Ariane
right.
said, your closing rate is going to skyrocket. You'll
right.
be able to increase your rates, and it's twofold, right? It's our own perception, our perception of ourselves, and then the perception that other people perceive of us. And it's interesting, as you know, I'm in the very beginning of the book, and one of the things that they're recommending is that you go and ask previous clients, and you ask your friends and your family, like, what is your perception of me? And allow them to speak openly and honestly so that
mm-hmm.
that you get the whole big picture, right? And then bring
right.
that into your marketing and the way you present yourself in your business.
Right.
And in every aspect of everything we talked about today, right, the people that you work with, the people you bring underneath you, the types of prices that you can charge, everything is all about perception. Just like Jamie just said, Ryan Levesque, right? Like, he took
yeah.
a simple survey, and it's just the perception. It's pretty
right.
simple, right? But it's the perception that there's a whole method, and you know, that there's a system, and if you don't do it this way, you're not going to do it right. And, you know, it's just the perception.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty cool book.
I love it. And is it Christo Hall? I just pulled it up on Amazon. Christo.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you. It's so true. And pulling in what Tara did with us with the fascination advantage and that sort of thing too is I want to make it really clear how I'm different. And sometimes it's hard to see it yourself. Like, Scott, maybe that's why I listen to your webinar over and over again, because I'm trying to learn this stuff myself. Like, sometimes it's so hard to see it in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And and I've never hired a copywriter, so I don't know what they do. I can only speak to what I do, so it helps to hear. And Jeannie, I think you're...
Sorry.
Oh, yes, Monica, please.
Sorry.
Taking tons of notes. No.
I didn't want to cut you off.
Go ahead. Cut me off. I can listen to myself speak anytime.
The only thing I was going to say was, you know, I feel pretty strongly. This just happens to be a really, like, I can just see the stuff very quickly, but I feel pretty strongly about that conversation that we had in April at the retreat. The way that you do things is different. Your differentiating factor is that you're creating content that actually is influential. Okay, so it influences things. It influences sales. It influences PR. It influences your online image. You have the background that a lot of people don't have. That's the place that you're going to have to turn up the volume on.
Okay.
You know, it's that thing. I mean, you can't just go out there and be like, I'm a copywriter, because nobody's going to fucking care, Lane. It's not that.
You're right.
You're so much bigger than that. The thing about it is that you actually create these strategies and these things, really specifically content, that helps people get really noticed. I mean, they're getting traction, and it happens very fast. So I would go down that rabbit hole when I was talking to the public.
Okay.
And
I
still love the fast lane thing, by the way.
Yeah. It's just so fun. I love it, too, especially with my scooter now.
Well, and it means, like, totally, you can totally build this brand. And, again, you get results quickly.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, I've never seen anybody be able to place media like you've been able to play. So fast. And you make these contacts really fast. You know what I mean? So that's kind of where I was, just kind of some reiteration, but otherwise, you've got it. You've got the goods. Just turn up the volume, put the magnifying glass there. That's what I would even consult you on doing.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And I know
we
only have like 5 minutes left, so I want to make sure you're getting what you wanted out of it.
Yeah,
I
am.
Final questions?
Even more. No, this is great. This is really good. Very helpful. And now I got all my warm fuzzies in for the day, too. So
We love you. Words of affirmation. We love you.
We know. I'm a words of affirmation girl.
Yes. Should I keep talking? Let's use the last 5 minutes so you guys can get off the
way. Bring it on. So this is great. I really appreciate it. It means so much, too, because I have worked with all of you in some capacity. And so it's not just you telling me, you know, what you think. It's just, it's really, we've worked together, so it's very valuable. So thank you. Yeah, I'm good.
No, you're good, because we have 5 minutes left.
good.
So let me just say this then, too. So one thing I see about you, and I love this about you, so don't take this as a negative at all, because it's not. You want to do it all now. I do, too, so I can't really say anything. And so in your head, you're like, okay, I'm doing well with my client side. Now what? Like, what's the next thing I have to be prepping for? What's the next thing I need to be learning for? I will have everything set up and perfect for when that's ready. So that way, when you do want to do digital products, you can pull the trigger and send one email, and all will be wonderful in the world, right? I get it.
You know me so well.
So that's why I'm really glad you asked a lot of these questions today, because when I was looking through the Facebook thing, I was like, oh, Lane, I do the same thing. I can't say anything at all, where I'm like, I want to know all of the pieces and parts now. And because that's your strength and the learning is a huge piece, and you're I love that you wrote SOPs and stuff, because you're avoiding that because you don't like it and you're not very good at it, which makes sense, right?
Totally.
And so that's why we, what I loved about what Scott said earlier is, like, I would much rather have you figure out what your strengths are big time, which I think you kind of know pieces of them already. And I want you to write down your weaknesses. SOP systems, one of them, right? And so when we do start looking for this admin person, we want somebody to really go over that. Like today with my team, I was like, AJ, can, so we messed up here. Write an SOP for this. And she was like, okay, I put it on my calendar. I mean, my schedule for the week. And I'm like, okay, great, because I'm not going to remember the next time we run a project like this. I'm just going to pull up the SOP and just write, like, read what AJ wrote.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you have somebody else that can be more in charge of that, even if you're, what works out really well, what I found for the SOP side, is that if you do have somebody who actually likes that side of it and is more detail-oriented than you, you can just walk them through the way you want the decision tree to go, which is way easier being asked those questions than sitting there looking at a blank page going, now what, right? And so you setting that up, I'm not saying, and everybody sort of has to do some of the pieces that they don't want to do in business. That's just sort of the way it is. So I would totally take the template of SOPs, think of one SOP that you really feel like that client onboarding one, like I was saying, like how can we make the client onboarding experience really, really great? You create one. So that way when you do have an admin, they can do a lot of the pieces. But those should be your top priorities more than, hey, can I get, you know, 17 more clients? Or, hey, can I get an email list like this?
Right.
Because if we can get your assistant up to speed, and that's going to take a while, if we can get them up to speed on what you're doing, then you're saving so much more time and you can leverage that first. I would do that before passive income in a second.
Okay. All right. That's great to know. Yep. Yes, I need some anal retentive person to come and and micromanage my systems. That would be great.
Cool.
Yeah. This is great. Okay. Thank you guys so much.
You're awesome. I know. Let us know, of course, if you need anything in regards to that, too, especially if you have any questions on the writing, your blog, like a book or anything. I can give you some resources for some of that stuff.
I think really focusing on just – oh, go ahead. No. Go.
I was just going to say, I used Scrivener, which was really awesome because you could move things around. So if you're, like, laying something out – I don't know if you – I know you're a writer, so you probably know better than me, but Scrivener was great for doing something bigger. And Arianne, this might be something that you think about too. I'm not sure what your process is for writing, but Scrivener allows you to like move stuff around and actually put notes on sides of things, which Google Docs doesn't do very, very well. So,
I've been using a program called Ulysses.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that.
I think it's a similar to what you were describing.
Perfect.
Cool. Yeah, I got Scrivener in the AppSumo lifetime something or other. So I have it. I just never dove into it.
There you go. All right. I know time is up, but of course,
like
let us know if you need anything in the meantime. And Brian is in the hot seat. I'll let him know for next week. Let me know if you guys need anything. I posted in Facebook about the content webinars. What I'm looking to do is potentially just give you what you need. So either that means an introduction or calling in a favor or something like that, so you don't have to sit on a webinar that's not helpful to you. So that's why I make sure you post on that thread, so that way I've got the threads of everybody, so I can start figuring that out for you too, so I can get you what you need.
Great. Thank you.
You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for allowing me to pick up my son, too. By the way, he's fine. We'll take him to the doctor in a little bit. Thank you, guys.
I am one home sick today, too, so I'm right there with you.
Have an amazing cool chat next week, too. Thanks, guys, so much.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, guys.